We'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order. Everybody please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening all, guests. And if you could make it. Let's see, everybody is probably on the agenda. So, there's the public comment. We'll move on to the agenda review if there's any items to be added.
Mayor and council members, just a few items I want to add is letter from Minnesota Pollution Control, and basically in relation to the sewer restriction. I will touch base on that under my report. Couple spreadsheets for health insurance for the next year, which also is under my report. And then there's an updated claims list along with an updated nuisance list. And then one other item I would like to add is we can do it right before Representative Jim Nash is to add County Commissioner Jim Ishii to the agenda.
Okay. Anything from the council? Is a good promotion to approve the agenda with the added items?
So be it.
Motion made and seconded to approve the agenda with the added items. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Move on to the consent agenda.
Mayor and Council, just one thing I want to note. It should be approved minutes for June 2015, not June 9th, so it should be for 16. June 1st and June 16th.
I move to approve the consent agenda as amended. Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Move on. Mr. Buckentine, Fire Department.
Okay. I'll just start with the paid on call from last month. Dropped out to the firemen. They said they would be good with the percent going towards a pension for a year, long as it stays at 15%, and all issues go through the fire department executive.
Well, the council still has to decide on that yet. Correct?
Correct.
Yeah, I think you guys had asked if we would put it towards the pension for the year.
Any discussion, council?
So this is instead of them getting, you know, $10 a call or whatever it is?
No, it would, that would all stay the same.
Okay.
The only thing was if they didn't make that 15%, it would count as not a good year. And then they wouldn't get their pension for that year. It just wouldn't be common for that year. Other than that, the per call will stay the same. So just per call, $10 per call.
Well, that, like I say, we'll still have discussion on it as a council. Okay. I guess at this point, it's just information, right?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Well, the budget is, what, September?
Yeah, end of September. We got till September 30th, so I'd say by then the council would probably want to rule on that.
Well, that's it on that. From pension. The president called me today, said our account didn't give him any numbers, so he said don't even bring it up for tonight because we can have it before you bring it up. Bomber Deer trailer, I guess we got.
Yeah, just a few things I want to touch base on the trailer and get approval from council. What we, Justin put a description together. I want to put something in the paper. I'm looking for kind of a guideline how long we want to run it. And I was looking probably at our next meeting, which is August 11th. So maybe we would do sealed bids till the 10th, the end of that day. We want to, Justin thought of putting in at least a minimum bid of $4,500, correct?
Yeah, thank you.
So I don't know if there's any objections to that. Otherwise, we will run that in. I mean, we can do it local. I don't know where the council all wants to run it, but I can run it through the League of Cities and Rural Water and those outlines for no fee. And I can run it in the local paper if that's the wishes of the council.
Take the League and Rural Water
and the local. Okay. Them are the three we were planning on. There's any other insight as to where you'd like to run that? Sealed bid ad, let me know. And then we'll be doing that along with the Jetter also.
Okay.
Finally, I just got a national night out. We approved that donate $450 to the city if we only do for the meal, and then supply fire truck ride.
Who would get a hold of, like, is the ambulance going to be there?
I can check on ambulance and sheriff's office.
Yeah.
Well, we'll work on it. Me and Justin will take care of that.
Wonderful. Anything else?
No, other than that, I think we've typically done it from 6 to 8. I usually start cooking about 4:30, getting things ready about 4:30, so, and we've served from 6 to 8. So, Steve, you're going to take care of corn?
Yep.
Correct. I'll take care of supplies, so, and me and Justin will work on sheriff's office and ambulance.
Okay. The siren. Any update? I haven't heard. It was not working.
It's still not working. There's a communication issue from the county to our board. Don't know what it is they had to get Motorola involved, who did the changed the codes at the county level. They did some upgrading there. And I haven't heard back from, I just talked to Tim Walsh today, and he had said that he was hoping to hear something today back from Motorola, but he hasn't heard nothing. So I'm still waiting on that. As of now, our siren's been down. Yeah, week and a half at least. It didn't go off on the annual monthly test on July 1st.
Mm. So that's keeping you in the loop of it too?
What?
County is keeping you in the loop too? Or?
Well, I have.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I talked to Reddy Watt, who came out, and they were in Waconia, and he said they had issues in Waconia too. Because what he did is he actually brought another board out, replace the board, because what it is, whatever codes that the county's sending, we're not getting them same codes. And I don't know, I guess there wasn't supposed to be any issues, but when they did this upgrade, but you know, anytime you upgrade, there's always things to work out. So,
well, wasn't the fire department having problems too getting the features?
Yeah, I thought we had it fixed. It was the same type of. It's been intermittent, it's been the whole county all of a sudden. They thought they had a fix, and I was still here the other day that someone will hear tones but no words, or words are not followed, or you get on the 800 but not on the pages.
Tanker 11 said it was out of service.
What?
Well, done.
And I had me an interview, it's not going to get fixed that night, so I'm going to bring it to someone.
I was just kind of curious to set out a service, but...
Yeah, so we have service over at night so we can get it in.
Okay. There's a text to you, I asked, but maybe you're out of town or something. Anything else for Chief Buckentine? Council? Chief, anything else?
Nope.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, we'll move on. Commissioner Issue. Good evening.
Mayor and council members and staff, good evening to all of you. Thanks for the opportunity to stop by. I will be pretty brief. I do want to talk on just a few things that are going on in the county, and I'll stand for questions. If I can't answer your question tonight, I'll get back to you. I'm going to start out, I'm going to touch on a half a dozen things here quickly. We are in the process of hiring a new veteran, the Deputy Veteran Service Officer over in McConey. We've seen a spike in the number of veterans that are visiting our office, and we've been pushing for that actually for quite a little while here. And I always say at these meetings, I encourage all veterans to go and check it out at least to find out what benefits you may have earned. But because of that, and because we're getting more and more folks that are stopping in there, of course, from the Korean War and the Vietnam War, we're adding a little more staff over there. They are also in the process of putting a new bus in service. The Veterans Council is going to buy them a new bus periodically, so that will be going into service shortly. Of course, that gives those folks rides to the VA hospital, the new clinic over in Shakopee, etc. The library over in Northern America is still very popular. I know a lot of folks from Hamburg are going over there and using the library. We see about 2,400 visitors there per month. And they're checking out about 4,000 or a little bit better than that books and other library material. So that place stays pretty busy over there. I'm going to touch on our parks just a little bit. At the Baylor Park, we've had and are continuing to have a variety of different programs for families and kids out there. They had a beginner archery course, which the kids really love. Family full moon canoe, and they're doing a thing with the library called the Story Walk around the campground that is popular as well. I smile a bit because, of course, we, like a lot of places, have a bit of a problem with the goose population out there. We try to keep several nesting pairs that have been there for years, but of course, they've been reproducing very well. So a couple of years ago, we reduced that number of geese, and we did that actually this week again. We had about 45 geese out there, and in order to maintain a swimming beach with 45 geese, it creates a lot of work and just a heck of a mess, and it keeps our staff as busy as can be. So we removed about half of them, but I tell you this because we have folks on one side of the lake that are farmers, so when the geese and the goslings are out there trimming off their 3 and 4 inch corn, the phone is ringing that they're pretty unhappy about the goose population. The flip side is you have people on the other side of the lake that are throwing shovel corn out on the shore and on their lawn, and they're watching the young goslings grow. So as you guys know, in this business of being in an elected position, it's hard to make everybody happy all the time. Our 2016 budget we were working on, we did the first budget hearing last week. We look at our tax base compared to our increasing cost of doing business, and we have a bit of a budget gap this year. We're working hard to close that. I think we'll be able to do that, but we've got a lot of growth and stuff going on in the county, but of course it takes time before that tax base gets paid and things like that. In regards to public works, we are working on a process of doing redistricting our snowplow districts. We're thinking, I don't know if we're going to, but we're thinking about going on 3 districts instead of 4. Right now, of course, we have the public works building in Cologne. We have a joint facility down there with MnDOT and Chaska. And then we have a small little facility in the city of Watertown that actually we've already sold to the city because they want to redevelop that intersection by their roundabout there just east of the bridge. And then we have the Norwood America facility, which is pretty small. And there was talk of closing Norwood already 10 or 12 years ago, but I had been fighting to keep it open at least for winter snow plowing. Those guys I dispatched out of Cologne during the summer months for seal coating and all the things they do. But so So we'll see what happens there, but we did enter a purchase agreement for a property up in Hollywood Township, and a very nice facility that we can't really show what we were paying for, we don't believe. And so we talked to the city of Watertown, and they're happy to, if we move out of town, they don't have a problem, so to speak, because they are not ready to build on or are able to financially do that at this time to build a new public works building, so I think they have it there.
What was that, the Neaton property?
Neaton, yeah.
Are they going out of business or something?
No, they're, they have an erosion business. They do erosion control, yeah, things like that, and seeding, of course. We bought some farmland. The farmers grew up, two brothers, and we actually purchased some property just south of the shop where they want to build a new shop and build some ranges and things like that. Mm-hmm. We're under a conditional use permit, of course, in the rural service district at Hollywood. So they're relatively restricted. They can't really do any ag operations. They'll bring their combine and service it in the shop and stuff. But according to their CUP, you know, can't store grain and all the things that they'd like to do, so they're going to build a new facility, and hopefully it works out for them as well. They look like it's going to work out for the county. Finally, I'll talk just briefly about a few road projects out on this end of the county. We're going to do some new overlay work. One of the roads we're going to do is 131, which would be just west of the truck stop, maybe near the county line, going past Hillcrest, due north, and across 212. We're going to do that road up to County Road 34. And then we're going to do 34 all the way from 33 right to the city, up to the west county line. So those two roads will be done. And then County Road 33 out there past etc. from Four Corners into the city of Norwood. That will be done hopefully this summer as well. We are looking, of course, on that 101 bridge. We've had areas where we saved millions of dollars. We've had areas where it's cost us millions of dollars. So we're treading water. We're actually a little bit ahead of the game from the original bridge, but we started driving piling, 30-inch piling, mind you, and that muck, and it was now 125 feet. So the county and MnDOT and Scott County spent $200,000 to do a static test to put 800,000 pounds of pressure on those pilings. And then you've got a variety of meters and things to measure that's moving down. So to make a long story short, we ended up, they drilled those piles 154 feet to ground to hold that bridge. And then we did a 30-inch pile and they filled the concrete once they get it in place. So it's a costly situation. But the flip side was, we built a big roundabout where the Shakopee Y was. And they were going to put a bunch of that on the pile as well, actually from the road to the roundabout. And Ames decided it was cheaper and quicker to lay it out with their big backhoes. They hauled tens of thousands of loads of material in and out of there, the muck scope in going out and sand going in. So that saved a couple million dollars. So as I said, we're kind of treading water and they hope to have it open by the end of November. Watertown, we're doing a bridge up there. We talked about that for a couple of years. That's under construction and going pretty well. On the west side of Lake Waconia, Highway 10, County Road 10. Actually, from where you head west to go to Mayor, County Road 30, from there north, that road is completely dug up and will be redone and shoulders widened and some of the hills and curves hopefully softened a little bit and make that a little bit better driving. And then finally, we're fixing a second bridge in San Francisco Township that washed out a year ago. We did one kind of very early spring, late winter because we were able to do that. And the second one is being fixed by the as city folks, you know, you're better off if you never need any FEMA money, but if you get it, it's a long time coming. And that's the case here, so the township, of course, was unable to finance the bridge on their own, so they had to wait for some FEMA dollars to come in. Mm-hmm. At least they're getting done. So, with that, any questions for me or anything about the county that I can try to answer?
Council?
Yeah, one's... County 5 is going to be done in Waconia. It's kind of a pain.
Highway 5?
It says November on the sign, but that's pretty vague.
Well, actually, they're working right now from Oak Avenue to County Road 10, that first leg. If you go through there, you know where it's at. That's due to be done by the 5th of August. Then they're going to close it from County Road 10 to 284, right in the heart of town, and tear that up. And, of course, the part that is east of town, it's closed and ripped up as well, as you probably know. So
You can't get around that area.
Well, it's tough at best. And I was just telling Representative Nash when we were outside, I said, I watched the news at 6 o'clock tonight, and they had people talking about 394 and all the construction going on in the city. And MnDOT just getting bombarded with calls. And the guy said, you know, you got to close them to fix them, or we got to leave them the way they are. There's no alternative here, so. But yeah, they've had reasonably decent weather in Oconee, so they should make a pretty good progress. I think they're a bit ahead of schedule, so. Had a few rain days, but not many. So hopefully, that's kind of the long and short of that. Now I work over there, not every day, but quite a few days, and I've been driving up 284, I was over south of Bunbears. So, but it's a bit of a challenge. I know I went out on 5 today at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they got a deputy at the one intersection there that's north of the high school. Just to keep traffic moving because it's a four-way stop. Maybe there. Mm-hmm. It's an hour to get through the intersection. You know, so. But yeah, it is. It's no fun, but hopefully it's going to be a decent improvement when they're done.
Are they like putting an underpass or?
Yeah, over near Oak Avenue, yeah. Yeah, Representative Nash could probably tell you more about it than I can. It's on the mayor there. Yeah, there'll be a stoplight, I think, on Cherry Street right there by Lake Clinic. So, yeah, there'll be a lot of work going on, and it is what it is. You gotta go in there and hang in there. So.
It's Minnesota in the summer.
What's that?
Minnesota in the summer.
Oh, that's it. Winter road construction.
Well, it has to be.
Yeah, that's it.
Also, anything for Commissioner?
Do we hear anything on that fiber optic? Is that?
That'd be nothing to do with the county. This would be on the private end with Jaguar if you're. I'll give a little bit of an update on that in my report.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
For the update.
Yeah.
You can stop in again.
We will. Yep.
Thanks, Jim.
Yep. Representative Nash, thank you for coming.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thanks for having me in tonight. I always like visiting cities. As Commissioner Ishii just said, apparently Highway 5 is my fault for being a former mayor of Oconee. I did lobby pretty hard for that project, and it is a good project. It's going to solve a lot of congestion and accident problems. Yeah, when I served as mayor there, it was shown to us in a MnDOT study that's one of the most dangerous stretches of highway in the state. And it's inconvenient as it's being worked on, but it's going to save a lot of lives, and it's going to make throughput a lot easier. And it's eventually going to be a part of a larger plan that brings Highway 5 all the way out. And I think, to segue into this, it's also going to help us bring the case to make Highway 212 another expanded corridor of commerce. If you remember, Representative Grunhagen and I carried a bill earlier in the year. Unfortunately, it didn't get passed, but we're trying to fund all of Highway 212 to be carried all the way out. It's a huge and important project. I sit on the Transportation Committee, and that's one of the things I was very, very glad to be put on that committee, because as a former mayor of a town that's really underserved, you all understand that very well. Roads are very important lifelines to communities. Roads growth in both the industrial and in residential, and that's very important. So that's part of what I've been doing down at the Capitol. But let me first say how grateful I am to serve you down in St. Paul. It is a tremendous honor to be down there, and I'm grateful to be representing you. I've had more than a couple of occasions to talk about what it means to be from Carver County. I've talked about it in the tax committee, I've talked about it on the floor, how I think a lot of folks that have been making decisions for a long time that maybe live closer to Minneapolis and St. Paul have absolutely no idea what happens in a community like Hamburg or Oconee or Norwood of America, where we were last night. So I've been trying very hard to be not just your representative down there, but also kind of an educator as to what life is like out in Carver County. And what life has been like for Carver County, I think, is we're often looked at as the ATM machine for transportation projects throughout the state, particularly in the metro area. And because of my experience in Oconee, dealing with our favorite Met Council, I was made the vice chairman of a subcommittee for Metropolitan Council oversight. And it's been a really good experience for me. We've seen some interesting stuff. and Commissioner Ishii. I don't think he shared one of the more interesting things going on from Carver County. There is conversation of work in Washington on the Metropolitan Planning Organization, or an MPO, which is our Met Council is an MPO. They're really trying to stick it to Carver County and Scott County. And we know that folks out here are never going to use light rail.
Never going to get the light rail. It's not going to come this far, and they're bleeding us dry with their tax dollars.
Amen. So I have been outspoken, and I have I haven't made a lot of friends on the Met Council, so I think that's probably a good metric for us out here. I met with Chairman Dunnick after the governor gave him his big raise, his $84,000 raise, and I don't think that a lot of those folks understand what transportation out here means. Transportation means roads. And if we can expand roads and keep them in good shape, that's all people want out here. And apparently I got a little preachy one day in transportation committee, but I got a little animated and said, look guys, you have to understand, you all want to talk about bike paths and light rail and all these other things. One member wanted to talk about a butterfly garden along the trail next to a highway. And I said, you know, folks in Carver County just want a good road. That's all. So that's been my message in the Transportation Committee. I sit on the State Government of Finance as well, which we talked about a lot of different things this year. And I think one of the things that I'm the most pleased that we were able to do is, as a freshman, I came in. And, you know, freshmen are a lot like the kids that get put at the kid table during Thanksgiving and Christmas. They told us we're expected to be seen and not heard. And I didn't take that advice because I came in and I decided that you all sent me there to do some things. And my professional life, I own an IT analyst firm. And I began looking at what is called MITS, which is the Minnesota IT Department. And you all work in your day jobs. One of the things that I found was that at the state IT department, there were 17 people that had the title of Chief Information Officer. And again, I work in IT, and I kind of scratched my head because I work in a lot of large organizations, and usually there's only one person that's the chief anything. That'd be like having 17 mayors for an organization. So I wrote a bill, and we were able to get it passed, and we reduced the number of CIOs, and each of them made about $185,000 a year. So next year, there will be 16 less, and hopefully we're going to save the taxpayers of Minnesota some money there. I believe that, we're looking at big dollars, but if you begin looking at small pots of money as well, it adds up. So a couple million dollars saved is a step in the right direction. We were able to do some other really good things and prevent some things, and that's another piece that I wanted to talk about. We were able to prevent the governor from getting his gas tax increase, which again, I sent letters to a lot of the folks out here. I think I sent some polls to many of you out here asking what are important issues to you. The top issue that people literally begged me, I got calls for about a week straight. People were begging us to stop and prevent the gas tax. The way the governor wanted to roll up the gas tax was essentially a 6.5% on the wholesale price on gas tax. What that would mean when you filled up your pump in the morning would be about 24 cents on a gallon for a new gas tax. And we pointed out that working families in cities like this can't deal with that. And the funny thing was, 2 days after we began having this conversation in the Transportation Committee, there's a department called MMB, so Management and Budget, and they produced a report that said tax revenues are up because more people are buying gas because gas is cheaper. And there was a quote from one of the governor's commissioners that said, lower gas prices is like a tax break on Minnesotans. So we held up on the floor of the House when people were talking about the love that they had for the gas tax. And we pointed out that people are actually spending more money by keeping the gas tax lower. People are taking trips to the lakes. They're going up north. They're taking a trip across down to Red Wing to see Grandma, where before budgets were so tight they couldn't afford to do it. But, there's some things that I was disappointed that we didn't get done, and that was a good lesson for all of us. There was a tax bill with a $2.1 billion reduction for Minnesotans. and the governor said, I will veto that bill. And we actually believed him at the time. He had some other bills that he threatened to veto, and he didn't. We were talking about that earlier, Councilor Millett. But next session, we are already drafting pieces of legislation to provide tax relief for Minnesotans. You know, there are some big things that are coming our way, and you know, I could sit here all night, and I won't, Mr. Mayor, because we've got a meeting to run there. I'll be coming back to do a listening session here in town. There are a lot of important things that folks in Hammer, Marlin, Laconia, Mayor, Watertown, all of them have this, I think, pretty much the same mindset that there's a number of things that you expect from your government, and then there's a lot of things that you just prefer to not do. And I want to make sure that I am up to speed on everything that you feel, because I'm never going to be presumptuous enough to think I know what you think. But I brought up a legislative update. I have spoken to several local events, and please know that I'm available to you all the time. My cell phone is always on. Unfortunately, my legislative assistant got the number wrong out here. I'll leave some business cards. But I don't sleep a whole lot, so if you wake up at 1 in the morning with something that you really need to talk about, chances are I'm awake too. But if you would like me to come out and sit down, I would love to come out and join a work session in the fall. Once you've done your preliminary levy, you're working through your budget to talk about things that you need to be aware of at the state, I would really like to come out and do that. I was always the mayor that loved work sessions. I'm kind of weird that way. But I think that's where a lot of good things get done. But I want to work for you in St. Paul. And you've seen me out here. I will continue to come back out to various events. And I'm happy to sit down with you. If you have questions, please email me, call me. My legislative assistant has instructions to get your messages to me quickly. And if you send me an email or drop me a voicemail, it'll be me that responds to it. So I don't have anybody that does that. It's me that is taking care of it for you. So I would be happy to stand for some more questions.
Council? I have to say I appreciate you coming out. And I appreciate you have functions out in the western part. You know, that is something that was lacking.
Well, I really, some folks say this sounds a little bit different. Mr. Smith goes to Washington or one of the Boy Scouts. I work for you. And I take that very, very seriously. I want to make sure that I know what's going on in your community. And I'm going to come out here. I'm going to spend time with you. I would hope that if something important comes along, either you have someone, I always have people looking for folks who turn 100 or something major for your community. I want to be able to be a part of that. I want to help you out. We've got things that we do that recognize people for major milestones. It could be as simple as that, or if you have something that's really important, I'm there for you. You know, Commissioner Ishii talked about some FEMA money that was available. We passed an emergency bonding bill earlier in the session that provided some monies to Carver County and due to the flooding. And, you know, I'm not wanting to spend money on things. I'm very fiscally conservative, and the city administrator in Laconia will tell you that I gripe a lot about things. I went through the budget with a fine-tooth comb and spending with a fine-tooth comb, but you know, as a result of that, Laconia is in a good financial position, and I'm not one to spend money, but if we need to spend some money on something like an emergency issue, that's what I'm there for. So I'm there for you anytime you need it. Other questions?
Well, just a few comments. Along with what we want out here is roads, the other things that are needed is possible funding opportunities for infrastructure. That's a big one for us out here, is infrastructure improvements. They're extremely expensive, and it's almost to a point with a small town, you basically have to come up with a development that almost doubles the town in order to be able to afford to do the infrastructure improvements.
Councilor Lund, I was talking about before the meeting convened. I think one of your primary concerns is your water tower, its capacity to meet future growth. What is the gallon capacity? Is it like a million gallons? Something?
55,000.
55,000. Okay. You know, that's one of the things that when I was mayor, one thing we talked about a lot is how we build out to receive that new growth. Have a major fireman, your chief just left, or have a major fireman need that pressure to be able to address the fire and still have people. That would be ability to flush the toilet and have things go away. That was one of the simple metrics of our public works directors. I think that's down to the brass tacks. I will make a note to look for things like that.
Yeah, because some of the things we've had for a small town back in 04, we, with the new EPA rules on drinking water regulations, you know, it basically pushed us to build a new plant, and that cost us $1.2 million. We did $1.2 million of improvements in sewer and stormwater. We have another $1 million facing us with the water tower. I mean, it's a lot for a small community to take on.
On top of getting hit with things like I-9 from the council.
Right.
And yep. So, we've had lots of interesting conversations on I-9. I'm happy to look into what I can do for
you. We appreciate it.
Other questions? All right, I'm going to leave these. I'll just pass it up. Brought some for everybody.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate the opportunity
to be here. All right.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming
thanks
out.
Thanks for getting in. I got one. He's got one.
Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for
coming
out.
Appreciate it.
Here we go. Business cards for everybody. So, well,
almost everybody. I will leave that with you. If you would pass that to council.
Sure.
It's 807-6416 instead of 801-6416.
807?
Yep, 952-807-6416.
Wonderful.
That's right. Thank you again.
Oh, appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Number one, our street improvement project, change order number one.
So basically, this is what we discussed at the last meeting, was to delay the wear course and then also the mill and overlay on Railroad Street and the east end of Sophia Avenue until 2016. So basically looking at that, that will defer about $62,738.15, which that amount will be paid in 16 versus 15. Then also what that will do is change the final completion date from September 25th, 2015 to June 10th, 2016. And we kind of picked that day because we wanted to have it all completed before Zumberfest. So I'd look for a motion to approve change order one for the 2015 street improvement project.
Motion made and seconded to approve the change order number one for our street project. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right.
One thing I just want to note on the street project, though, I believe in talking to Justin that we're still looking to have everything done September 25th, 2015 of this year, though. Minus the items in the change order.
Okay. Anything else? Or we'll move on. Mr. Qualley, Minister. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Scott Qualley. I'm a building official. And I'm embarrassed to say that I have introduced myself because I have been here quite a while. and I feel bad about that, so we're going to change that. And one of those changes is the fact that I hired Tom Richardson to work with me. He's going to give the role or the title of relationship manager, and his job is going to be to make sure that we're keeping touch and doing things that you need in terms of making appearances and showing up and talking about things as we need to. My sort of default mode or position is no news is good news, and if I don't hear that you need me, I'm not going to stop by necessarily, and that's not necessarily the best way to go. So my intention is to be here more often, or to have somebody here more often, so that we can have conversations when you need to do that. We do work very carefully with Jeremy and Sherry to make sure that things are getting taken care of, and that gets communicated back to you in the appropriate manner that you need that communicated back. If you have any questions or concerns, you could certainly call Tom and myself, and we'll look at your cards tonight before we go. So thanks for the opportunity to come out and see you. I've got a code update sheet that I will pass out for you so we can talk about the changes that have been made here in the code in the last several months. And we didn't send that to you, did we? It's not in your packet, I don't think.
No.
So we are in the middle of a code adoption cycle, actually getting near the end of it, which is kind of nice because it's rather disruptive for both builders and contractors and us to try and work through. January 24th, the residential code, the mechanical code, and the rules for building inspectors and building officials became effective. And then on February 14th, they added in the residential energy code and the radon code. So those got added in later, about 40 days apart or 25 days apart, something like that. Then, overall, nothing happened for a while, and then we added in the commercial energy code and the commercial building code. That was June 2nd, so those became effective. And we're expecting the fire code and the plumbing code to get adopted yet this year. So when we get done with the whole process, we're going to have a 2015 code. It won't be 2015 this and 2016 that. Hopefully it's all going to get packaged up and we'll be in the 2015 code. State passed a law this last legislative session that said we're not going to look at the code every 3 years. The International Code Council puts out a code every 3 years. The 2015 code is out, but we just adopted the 2012 for our 2015 code, so we're not going to look at it again until 2018, and then they're going to stay on a 6-year cycle. So every other code we will look at for adoption. So that's kind of what's happening with the code stuff. I'll just kind of zip through some of the details. In 1300, which again are the building official rules, it talked about the idea that sheds under 120 square feet and fences under 6 feet in height were exempt from permits, from building permits. Still might need a zoning permit, but don't need a building permit. They've expanded those numbers now to 200 square feet of floor area for a shed. Now, I don't want to mistake that with a garage. You can build a 10 by 20 building and stick a car in there, but that's not a shed, so if it's a garage, it's still got to get a permit. But a 200 square foot garage or a 7-foot high fence, and it's simple, you put up a 6-foot high fence, you got a 6-foot-2 post that's holding it up. If I have to come out and measure it because someone complained, it's over 6 feet, supposed to get a permit. Now we said, okay, 7 feet, if it's below that, it's good. If it's above that, it's not. That's a much better line to draw in the sand than 6 feet. So that was a good change in my opinion. I'm going to jump down a little bit to plumbing. Last time I talked about plumbing was probably 5 years ago, and the code used to require that the only thing that was exempt from a permit with plumbing was if you have to clear stop it, if you have a drain guy come out. But even then, if you had to remove, replace, or reposition a fixture, take out the toilet to clear a plug, that was supposed to require a permit, and that never made any sense to me. But if someone called my office and said, do I need a permit to change out a faucet, the answer had to be yes, because that's what the code said. Well, they've now said, if you're doing a new appliance, if you're putting in a faucet, if you're putting it on a toilet, resetting a toilet, those kinds of things don't require permits because you're just reconnecting fittings or pipe, temporary pipe, not permanent piping. So I'm grateful for that change as well. It's not that I was ever following people home from Home Depot or Lowe's or Menards to find out whether or not they were getting permits for their faucets. But again, if someone called here or called my office, we were sort of obligated to tell them that they needed a permit, and maybe that was a $40 permit for a $25 cost, yeah. Which didn't make a lot of sense. Jumping down to the residential code, back when the 2007 code, which is a code we just finished using, got adopted, the insurance industry, there are lots of different groups or entities that have influence on the code. We leave the code being this ball that's kind of floating in the middle of the room. Insurance industry, firefighters, the fire protection industry, code people, construction people, all kinds of different organizations kind of pushing on the ball to make it look like they want it to look. And the insurance industry thought, well, with this whole hail thing, we got problems with roofs. We want to try something. We're going to make everyone tear off their roof if they live in a severe or moderate hail zone. And then we're going to put a new roof on and see if that makes a difference. And I think the theory was if you had shingles in her lap, this little spot right there after the lap is a spot where if a hailstone hits that spot and you've got a shingle over the top, it's going to tear easier. We take all that off and we're working on hard deck. The problem is you have the same problem on the backside of this lap, but the theory was that that might make it better. Building officials got together when they came up with the 2012 code and said that might be nice for insurance people. It has nothing to do with building safety or the building code. So they took that back out. So the code now will allow for a re-roof that is a recover. You don't have to do a tear off if you don't want to. You're still subject to the rules of the manufacturer with the shingles that you're putting on. So if they say you gotta tear it off, you have to tear it off, but it's not a requirement of the code anymore. So that's gone away. Sound transmission, if you're building townhouses or twin homes, you gotta put something in between the walls that separates the two units so that it's quieter between unit A and unit B. Otherwise, the dog walking down on the hardwood floor on one side is very easily heard on the other side. So there's now some sound transmission standards for that. It has to have a 45 decibel reduction in sound, which is, again, a good thing. Ceiling height in an existing building. If you're going to finish your basement, it was never finished before, and you've got a low ceiling, it goes down to 6'4", and you can still call it a habitable space, whereas in a new construction scenario, 6 foot, well, 7 foot is what's required for habitable spaces. Basements can be as low as 6'8". So it gives a little more discretion to folks who have shorter ceilings in their basements. Safety glazing was a simple thing that no one really, I can't say that it was administered wrong. It was sort of a crazy rule. If you're going up the stairs, let's say you build a deck on the back of a house that didn't have a deck, and they want to put a stairway in the side. So they put a stairway in the side, you got a landing at the top, stairways to go down, the stairway that goes down to the lawn. And you go clunk up the steps. The idea was that if you had a window that was close to a landing, the theory was that that was a hazardous location. You could trip and fall, hit the window, it would break, and you'd get hurt. The problem was that most people don't go upstairs, trip at the top step, fall 3 feet forward and 4 feet, 5 feet up, and hit a window. So they eliminated that rule, and now we're only worried about landings going down the stairs instead of within any landing. It's only when you're rolling down the stairs, hit the wall at the bottom end, and might hit a window there. That's the one that's a hazardous area. Garage, the code, we all think that the code gets more complicated or more frustrating or more rigid, and in fact, it usually seems like it's the case, but not always, and this next one is an example of that. The code used to say that a garage floor had to be a non-absorbent surface that was sloped towards the vehicle access door. The code now says it could be rock, asphalt, concrete, gravel, earth, anything you want to essentially put in a garage floor. That's acceptable by the code. So that's an example where we pulled back maybe from the standard because it wasn't necessary.
Scott?
Yeah?
Can I just interrupt
quickly? You bet.
Can you have a floor drain in your garage?
The code will allow a floor drain, and usually it's the authority having jurisdiction. So the sewer and water department in the jurisdiction that you're in, so when we used to be the building commissioner of Carver County, their septic folks said, got to have a holding tank if you want to do a floor drain. Now, I never really understood that because if your floor is not pervious and sloped towards the vehicle access door, the water's just running out to the apron of the driveway and going to the lawn anyway, but that was their rule and they get to make that rule, so that was the standard. So the city would get to decide whether A, how they need to be done. Normally they get daylighted. You just, you know, take a pipe, run it out the sidewall, have it pop out into the yard,
right,
and you're good to go. But some cities want to go to sanitary, some cities want to go to septic, some cities want to go, they may not allow it, or others will allow it to be daylighted. So it depends on what your policy is.
Okay.
Good question, though. Window wells are no longer allowed to not have a drain tile that goes, connects with the building's drain tile system. That's, you know, 40 years late, but that's a good one. I've been in houses after these 6, 8, 10-inch rains that we had last year, and stood in a basement with a window that was 16 inches underwater. It was like a submarine. It was kind of eerie, because you just expected that water to come pouring in. And so now all window wells have to be connected to the drain tile system when you put it in the window well. It's got to be connected to the building's drain tile system so we can get that water into the sump and pump it back out and get rid of it. Residential sprinkler system, this is probably the most controversial part of the code. It's an arbitrary number, 4,500 square feet. I think someone thought, you can afford a 4,500 square foot house. You can probably afford a, you know, that $100 a square foot, that's a $500,000 house. You can probably afford a sprinkler system. I don't know why they picked that number. And at some level, it doesn't matter what I think about it, because in the end, I have to enforce it. The contractors have to do it. So, but any single family home over 4,500 square feet has to be sprinkled. And that's floor area. So that's the calculated area. That was next to your wall. That was next to your wall. We just measure across. It's 55 feet by, you know, whatever it is this way. That's how we measure. It doesn't matter if there's interior partition walls or stairways or other features in the house. It's just the calculated floor area. But it excludes the garage from the garage floor. So that doesn't get counted in the calculation. All townhouses and all twin homes or duplexes, if you want to call them that, would require them also to be sprinkled. So only single family homes over 4,500 square feet need to be sprinkled. I'll skip over smoke detectors. There's some controversy about that whole thing. And we're working on an appeal to try and understand what the rule is. The rule used to say you had to have a smoke detector in every bedroom, outside each sleeping area in the hallway, and on each additional level. So if you had bedrooms upstairs and none downstairs, you had one in the basement, one in the hallway, and one in the bedroom. Supposed to be in the immediate vicinity. So if you have bedrooms on two ends of a hallway, if it's not more than 10 feet away, you're good. But if it was a 40-foot long hallway or two ends of the house, you're supposed to have one on the outside of each. The code then goes on to say that they're supposed to be interconnected and hardwired. And I understand the reason for that. We want one to go off and tell all of them to go off. And we don't want them to be battery operated only because kids take the batteries out to run a remote control for their toy cars or whatever. So if they're powered with battery backup, we eliminate that, and if they're interconnected, when one pump goes off, it talks to all of them, we've got a better chance of getting out safely. The problem is that the code, again, used to say, which was, I think, the appropriate thing, you don't have to hardwire them in a house that's existing if you just did some work over there and you didn't tear off the ceiling or the wall finishes to facilitate wiring and doing all the work you have to do to interconnect them. But then the new code says, unless you have access from an unfinished basement, a crawl space, or an attic. Well, I've got a walkout rambler with an unfinished laundry room and an attic, and you can get to every wall or ceiling from the attic upstairs, and I can get to every wall for a wall-mounted unit from my mechanical room for every room in the basement. So in my case, if I did a $250 project to change out a window or something, the code currently says, or at least I believe that it means, that I would have to hire an electrician and maybe spend $1,000 having them hardwire all the smoke detectors in my house and make sure that they're interconnected. So I've got a request into the state for an interpretation specifically to deal with whether or not that's really what they intended, because they sort of just let the code language fall in. They had amended that part out in the past and they let it come in. I'm not sure that's what they meant, but I want to get a clarification before I'm going to enforce it. If you're building a new home, you've got a basement. It's made out of either TGIs, which are a plywood type material. It's OSB with a 2x2 on the top and the bottom to give you some nailing flange. It's very rigid, very good support for the floor system. The problem is that if it's in a fire, it burns very quickly. And we don't want firefighters walking into the foyer of a house and then falling through the floor because that floor system has burned out. So the requirement is in a new home, if it's not sprinkled, essentially, you've got to have a ceiling or a lid on that ceiling, even if it's an unfinished basement. So it's either drywall or 5/8 wood structural panel to provide some additional fire resistance to that floor system. You can also spray it with a fire retardant chemical or do a couple of other things. Trusses and engineered lumber need to have the equivalent fire protection rating or resistance level of a 2x10. If it won't burn for a half hour or won't be more than 50% weakened in a half hour fire, then it's all right to stay the way it is. So that was a firefighter protection.
But if you have a finished basement with half inch sheetrock, is that sufficient?
You're ready to go, absolutely. Yeah. The energy code, I don't know if any of you guys work in construction, the energy code, we used to have our own homegrown code. We went to thinking about the international code version of the model code. We're now way over here. I mean, we've adopted the model code, and there's a lot of new stuff in there, and the Minnesota amended it as well. So I won't bore you with the details, but they've increased attic insulation from R38 to R49, which is probably a good thing. Wall insulation went from R19 to R20. To me, that's barely worth making all the lumberyard stock and an additional skew of a one R thicker insulation. But R19 is essentially obsolete, and R20 will be the new standard. They also want to increase insulation on the foundation walls on the inside or the outside. They're preferring to put the insulation on the outside to try and minimize basement walls from getting cold. If they get cold and it's humid in the house, they're going to get wet and end up with condensation there, so that's potentially a problem. So I'll leave the energy code alone. But there's a lot of new changes. That's probably the most challenging part of the code change that we've undertaken. Before I jump to the next topic, any thoughts on that? Any questions at all you want me to address?
I've got one here on the radon.
Yeah.
Can you explain that one a little bit now?
Sure, what would you like to know?
Okay, it says effective 214. Now, is that just in effect if somebody wants to sell their home? It has to be?
Okay, perfect question. I just need to know where to start. We had a radon code since 2009. It addressed new construction in what we call IRC buildings, or a single family home, a two family dwelling, or a townhouse. The problem was it was supposed to address apartment buildings, condos, buildings that don't fit under the IRC that are still residential occupancies. You might have a hardware store with a residential occupancy above. Those buildings now are included in the new radon code, but the code's been in place since 2009. The code requires when you build new construction, we have to put in a passive radon system. So that's a soil material that will allow gases to bubble up and then move laterally to a collection point. Typically, we see people putting in drain tile and then connecting either the drain tile or the sump basket with a pipe that runs up through the attic. The theory is, I'm not sure that I buy it, that convective flow, heat rising, is going to drag some of that radon up with it and out through the chimney. Radon is 7.8 times heavier than air. So I don't think that convective flow is necessarily going to grab a lot of radon and bring it out of your basement. But if radon if we think of it going and bubbling up into the bowl of the slab, it's going to pressurize under there, and eventually it's going to want to squirt out in through a crack in the construction or by a drain or in the sump basket. If we've got that pipe in there, it's going to relieve that pressure. The reason that we don't test for radon and fix it up front or do something different is because we can't really control where the radon is going to bubble up. If there's no spot for it to bubble up underneath their foundation, we're not going to have a problem. But your neighbor might have 16 picocuries per liter in their basement because that's where the sand column ends. So the idea is that we put in a passive system, think of it like an airbag. And if we get into an accident or if we test and find that we've got radon, then we can add a fan to that system. And now we've got the way to evacuate the under slab area to make sure that radon gets sucked out. The real estate laws have changed to address this in the way that it says, if you sell your house and you know, because you tested or had testing done, that you have radon or don't have radon, you have to disclose the results of that test. So I've lived in my house for 27 years. I've had three different test kits in my house. I've never sent them in for analysis. So I put them out and then I'd say, oh crap, I left it there for 3 weeks and I throw it away. Or I had one that I got a free deal and it sat in my house for 14 years and then I finally installed it and read the instructions and said, if you don't do it within 12 months, it's going to cost you $65. So I threw that one away. And my kids have all grown up, moved out now, and I finally bought a radon detector, put it in my basement. But I almost didn't want to know at that point, because if I screwed up my kids, it's probably something I don't need to know. But anyway, it tested at 3.2 picocuries per liter, which is below the EPA's recommended threshold for abatement or taking action. But now I know it's 3.2, and if I sell my house, I need to disclose on the radon disclosure form that I have tested it and it was 3.2, and then the buyer just has information about whether they want to do something about it or not.
So
that's all that changes.
So it's nothing mandatory.
No.
Because my neighbor is nervous as to if he wants to do something that would cost him money.
Sure. I mean, if you test and it's 12, you don't have to do anything. If you want right on your house, you can let it be there. It's up to you to make that decision. Problem is, with an existing home, it might cost $2,000 to put in a system or and it wouldn't be a full system. It'd be kind of a makeshift system where you punch a hole through the floor, drop a pipe, and dig out some dirt, put some rock in there, and then put a fan on outside, and it usually works. I mean, I don't want to say that that's not a good system, but once we transition all into homes that all have the passive system in place, it's $200. You pump a fan on, you plug it into an outlet that's already required to be there, and you have an active system.
Is there any, if you do it, is there any inspections, or does that not fall under?
There are inspections required to install a system and theoretically to put an active, make a passive system active. I would say we have a provision for a maintenance permit in town where if you change out a water heater, it's just a one inspection at a reduced fee over the normal plumbing permit. I would think that making a passive system active would be similar. We should make that up. We should probably add it to the fee schedule. That would be just a one trip, make sure the fan's on and it's running. If you've got a manometer or some other device that shows that there's negative pressure inside the house, in the pipe, and we'd be good to go. So I will make a note to change that actually. Any other thoughts or questions about that? Okay, so the second item that I've got is that we had a code change, and I thought in 2007 when we adopted the code last time, I went around everybody and suggested this, but I'm not positive that we got it done here, and it may be me that I didn't come around, but the code, every time the code changes because you've adopted it and I enforce it for you, it has to be the right code. And so every time, you know, January 24th, we should have made an amendment, and on February 14th, we should have made an amendment, and on June 2nd, that's ridiculous. So there's a self-perpetuating ordinance that comes from the state. I think it's in the packet. I would recommend that you adopt this, and I'm not, you know, I don't, the city attorney or somebody needs to help you, whoever helps you with ordinances to get this right, but essentially what it says is that you are going to enforce whatever the current state building code is in perpetuity, whatever. You know, if we adopt 2018 or when we adopt the plumbing code or whatever the code changes to, it will always be current and we won't ever have to adopt or change this again. So that's just something that I would recommend so we don't have to mess around with the details that go along with that. Third thing is that, I don't know if any of you are aware, Jeremy asked me to go talk to Doris Milkey about 470 Maria and the steps and the posts and the bricks in the corner. And there's actually some detail, I don't know, about five porches up of the brick where there's a nice little ribbon of brick and then there's another step out at the top. And I don't know if any of you could blend over the Enterprise building had a kind of a catastrophic failure about 8 or 9 years ago. I had to pour it off the street to do all kinds of other stuff until that brick got stabilized. And she's just at the edge of that. The brick in the corner where that post is settled a little bit. She had a structural engineer out today. I was pretty excited to see him. He's going to make some recommendations and she sounded like she was going to fix it. But they need to retuck point some of that brick to stabilize that corner and look at the steps because the steps have been modified a couple of times to make sure that they're stable and they're not going to keep falling. So I just wanted to give you an update about that, that we're underway and hopefully that will get resolved here in the next several weeks. And then did you want me to talk about the fee schedule?
Yeah, just I think we can tie that with, you know, the self perpetuating.
And whether you do that, it's not my suggestion we adopt it tonight, but I just want to make you aware that the city adopted the 2007 fee schedule back in 2006. I'm sorry, the 1997 fee schedule in 2006. And I'm not advocating actually to change that. The valuation-based table that, you know, if you do a $100,000 project, it's this, and if it's a $500,000 project, it's that. That actually still, in my mind, still a good table. So I'm not advocating for changing that at all. But there are some gaps or holes like the radon maintenance permit fee and some other things that we should integrate into the schedule that aren't there. One of the things you've got is we do an inspection at night. Someone says, I can't do it anytime but on a Saturday. It's at $74 an hour with a 2-hour minimum charge. And that seems to me to be excessive. That was something that was in place back before I started here and I think we should lower that. So my recommendation would be that we would drop it down to, I think it's $60 an hour or something like that. if we have to go back to that. So there are some changes or fees that go down. Actually, I've got it as $60 an hour. The reinspection fee has been $49.35. It was, you know, someone added 2% of the fee. It used to be at 48 or something. I suggested we make it 50 and make it a nice even round number, so for the 65 cents and went down there. There are some holes that we need to fill, some clarification, like if we do fixture maintenance, what does that mean? So now we've got a definition of what fixture maintenance is, so everybody understands what the rules are with that. So it brings some clarity to the schedule that we've got already, but again, I'm not making a huge advocacy case for raising the fees by 25% or anything like that, because I think they're in a good spot for where you are and where you are in the area as well. Most of the cities around us are at the 97 fee schedule. So if that's okay, I'll leave it at that. You and I can talk about this, and if you want to move forward with it.
Yeah, if you want to forward me any suggestions you have. I think the other thing we talked about was maybe the general permits.
Yeah.
Looking at the cost of those.
I suggest that they go up.
Because I think they should go up to about 50. That's what it seems to be.
Yeah, 36.75 is where they are. I suggested that we go to 45. But okay. This is a recommendation on my part. It's not a requirement. So whatever you want to do. But you're right, $50 is probably going to be cheap for just about everywhere around here. Waconia went to evaluation phase. So if you do a $10,000 roof, it's a $300 permit. So I'm going to suggest that one either. So I'll leave copies of the new one, anything that's in red, either a text change or a fee change, and then we can talk about it.
Yeah.
And we can come back later. I'm happy to do that to discuss any questions you might have. All right, then that's all I have. And again, I'll open any questions you might have. I'll give you cards. Whenever the storm season comes up, I think about the towns that I take care of. And as the storm went through 2 weeks ago, we got that 50, 60, 70 mile an hour wind that came through just like that. And frequently I will call somebody and find out if everything's okay on a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon or whenever these things happen, to make sure that I know that if we need to come, if there are trees down on houses or whatever, I need to show up, I'll be there. But the same thing goes true the other way. If you're aware of something or something that's of concern for you, my cell phone number's on my card, feel free to call me anytime, and I would be happy to address that for you. Thank you. And I promise we won't be as much of a stranger as I've been in the past. The whole no news is good news is just not adequate, I understand.
Thank you.
And then Tom, again, is the relationship manager, same company, same duties. Making sure that you're happy and we're taking care of your needs. So feel free to call him as well.
Thank you.
That's right. Absolutely. Although if you call my cell phone, unless it's in the other room, I usually have it right with me. So. All right. So next month, between now and next month, we'll talk about the ordinance. We'll talk about the
I was thinking maybe.
If you need me back, I'll come if you come.
Maybe
back.
Me and you can sit down.
Perfect.
Zing through these two things, and I can bring it back to council, and we can set up a public hearing and get it adopted.
Great. Super. Thanks for your time. Sorry for taking as long as I did, but hopefully it's helpful. That'll be nice.
Thank you.
All right. We'll move on. Old city business. It says iPad.
That's just the discussion we had at the last meeting in relation to sending a letter to, hold on 1 second, Information Policy Analysis Division in reference to some questions concerning possible data breach. So I worked with Ms. Dome, Kelly Dome, who's our city attorney, and came up with about six questions for them to look at in relation to Data Practices Act. So basically, in talking with Ms. Dome, they will only deal with data practices, those type of issues. Any other issues or concerns we have besides what's on the letter to iPad would have to be addressed to, of course, your own city attorney. So these were some of the items that we discussed. Main thing was about closed sessions, public versus private data. Medical information was another item. And then requesting access to have that defined for private personal data. Other items were basically, like I said, private versus public. And then what do individual council members have as for rights under the Minnesota Government Data Practices Act? And then also the publication of photos of employees on a website or other forms of social media without the permission or consent of employees. So I guess if council's reviewed it, if there's any other questions or concerns, but this was a letter that was sent off to IPAD for their analysis and their opinion. Kelly thought it would probably take about a month before we'd get a reply back on these questions and concerns. So like I said, if there's any other questions or concerns, also in relation to the past meetings we've had, public meetings in relation to this item that's been ongoing, I guess now would be the time to address them. I guess in relation to this, one thing that I want to go on the record is the article in the Norwood Young America Times. I've kind of voiced my displeasure as to how the article was written. Also, I want to go on the record that I never once mentioned Mr. Odom's name or his website address.
I guess I have had a little bit of discussion too with Mr. Adam, kind of probably stating the same thing that you had, Jeremy, that was not pleased with the article. I figure when we have an article that's city business, it should stay strictly city business, not bring in other information in. I don't know if any of the council has read it. Have you, Bob? Have you read that article what we're talking about?
I don't get the Norwegian American Times.
Well, I'll say it this way. There was an article that was supposed to be pertaining to city council meeting. There was more, I'm going to say, in it about the unofficial website than the city business. It probably, how should I say, in a nice way, it made the unofficial website sound like the best thing since butter on bread. And it totally, in my opinion, defeated what we're trying to get across to our citizens and here at the council. And it bugged me to the point where I did pester, you know, our Mr. Newspaper Article Man. And it should have been two separate articles. Anybody else want to pipe in here? I'm still totally upset with it. Because that made the unofficial website, I'm surprised that, I'm going to say the fellow who runs it doesn't have two broken arms from patting himself on the back, is what it said.
Well, if I can just kind of fill in, that basically Adam came to me to get a summary of what happened at the last council meeting. So I provided that summary. like Dick has said, and I did write to Mr. Grunewald and told him that Mr. Odom's responses should have been addressed in another article. I felt that the way the article was written does not represent what took place at the city council meeting and is misleading to what took place. I feel he came for the council, and I have nothing against Mr. Odom. I've said it many times, has his First Amendment rights, has his freedom of speech, but I just feel that Odom's responses should have been in a separate article, where the article should have addressed. It kind of made the article misleading, I guess is what I get, because it turns into council has concerns, and then the other half of the article is about Mr. Odom's totally off subject as to why the paper came for the interview. I'm not saying Mr. Odom's is not entitled to his response, but I just felt, like Dick said, should have been separate or letter to the editor or something different. And another thing I want to get across and on the record, nobody is here to take down your website. Nobody. We don't want your website removed. I'm not trying to impeach on your freedom of speech. I don't think anyone on council is here either. Nobody is after your website. I don't know why you have that on your website, why you continue to preach that. Nobody is here to take down your website. The only question I have, what are your intentions of that website? I would like to know. The things you write about on there should be talked about here. I mean, what are your intentions?
Well, as you know, I don't know if the rest of the council knows it or not, but Kelly sent me an email suggesting I contact an attorney about my website and what's going on here. And I did that. The attorney told me what I should do. I've done what she said I should do, and I have no further comment after that.
I guess I don't know everything yet. Went in that letter or whatever. I guess some of those answers will be coming back from this iPad.
Mm-hmm.
So which will probably clear up some of this, or if there's some changes that Mr. Odom's will have to do.
And I
or
think
suggestions that it's done.
Just to verify too, I think it's something for the council as a whole too. You know, not just singling out Mr. Odom's. I mean, these things came about because some of the actions from Mr. Odom's. But I also think it's a, you know, a lot of the things we've done are a good learning experience for the council as a whole.
Here's my gist of this. I'm getting tired of this. We've got other business to take care of in the city. How many hours have we spent and dollars pertaining to this issue? It's enough. Somewhere it's got, the line has to be drawn. I'm done. You know, you sit there and you don't even answer questions. That's your opinion or your prerogative, whatever. But we have to put up with, I'm going to call it, if it's allegations, your comments. And they're not always 100%, I'm going to say, right. But, you know, and we have got no, what I should say, recourse at this time. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think that there's too many on the council that really appreciate what you're doing. I can't speak for our employees, but I would think, you know, that, we'll go there. But there's people in town here that are just kind of on pins and needles if they're the next one that's going to be on your page. And to live in that kind of attitude, that sucks. People come up to me and, you know, they're just nervous, like, are they next? That doesn't have to be. Do you get a thrill out of this?
And if you think I'd buy that, you're totally wrong. People are not on pins and needles because I'm going to attack them on my website.
You know, why did they come and tell me that?
I have no idea. But I've got 39,000 people that write that website and I've got only six people or five people in this room that really don't like it.
What about the people that came up here and expressed their concerns? The public. So it's
already,
more than six.
We've already talked about that.
But it's more than six.
Yeah.
So set this record straight.
Okay, and that's fine. See, it doesn't.
But you know what? Those other ones that are upset, they don't tell you. They spread it around town here. You don't even know about it. You know? There's people in town here.
I did what the city attorney requested that I did, and I contacted an attorney as she wanted me to do, and I talked to the attorney. The attorney's aware of what's going on. The attorney told me what I should do, and I needed to write it.
Okay, on your website, which I don't look at, but I have people coming and asking me or telling me, am I still on it with my picture?
Pardon?
Am I still on it with my picture?
Yes.
Now, that would be kind of, I don't know if it'll come to this, but you get my permission to do it.
You're a public official. We were in a public building at a public function. It was my camera. Didn't cost us any city anything.
I don't give a darn about the cost. You're under my skin. Say it that way. When is it going to quit? Right.
Well, I'm not going to give you an opinion about that. That's a question you have to ask the city attorney, obviously.
Well, I'm addressing you tonight.
I've had enough. And I just gave you my response.
I've had enough, and I think there were some other ones in the sitting here too that have had enough. It's time to shape up and be a man about stuff, and don't hide behind that goofy keypad. It's enough. How can you expect us to work with you? And figure it out once.
As I said,
how much support do you have here?
I have no comments.
Well, you never have a comment, but you get back home and you're going to be to Dickens. Then you got a comment. Here you can't say a word because you're scared. Excuse me. Anything else?
Just one comment I want to make is, like I said, as the chief person, is council needs to work as a whole to get things done. I mean, council needs to work together and get things done. Problem I got, we have spent $8,000 to $10,000 on this issue. $8,000 to $10,000 on an issue I think should have been resolved, I don't know, a long time ago. And this all started over a letter, a simple letter, just basically stating that the city legal representative, that the city would not legally represent you. And it's turned into a whole another world.
Freaking circus is more the word, more the phrase.
And it needs to end. This needs to be put to bed. We need to move on from this and work together as a city and a city council. That's all I'm going to say on it. I've had enough of it. I think the council's had enough of it. It's not fair to the citizens of Hamburg for all the money that has been spent on legal fees for something that was a simple letter, a statement that was turned into something bigger than it needed to be.
I guess I never seen that on our website that there's been $8,000 lawyer bill yet. That's not plastered all over that. Since half of the story only gets told. You gotta stop there. As Jeremy just said, we gotta work together. And it's not working. I don't know where you're going with this thing. I'm not the only one that can't figure it out. There's nobody in this room that can figure it out there. What are you trying to do?
Say I have no more comment.
I
guess I gotta be on Dick's side. You never finish it with a comment. Just like Chris's questions that you never answer. That wasn't on the website. That wasn't in the newspaper. All I seen was you standing way up here, patting yourself on the back again. Hey, that's the way it was.
Steve, I'm sorry you took it that way. If you got a problem with the article, the way it was written in the newspaper, don't talk to me, talk to the newspaper.
City business should be going through Jeremy Greenhagen, not through you.
Through council.
When a newspaper editor calls me and says, I'd like to ask you some questions, am I supposed to say no? Of course not.
Confidentially, what our news yet?
And I would never do that. I would never do that. You know that.
You have done that. So,
all right, but that was before we had this little
deal. You just agreed with it. You just said okay.
But what I'm saying is, when that newspaper editor, and that wouldn't be you by any chance, would it? Are you Adam? Oh. So when Adam called me, and I was just going to work, and I says, I can't talk to you right now, I'm going to work. And he says, can I call you tomorrow at the same number? And I said, yes. He didn't call me, but when I got home from work, there was an email there that he sent me. And so I thought, it's a Friday, it's a weekend, I got some time to take and put this thing together. I don't want to bother him on the weekend. So I put together the details of basically what my whole program is about with my website. A lot of it has already appeared on my website, and I sent it off to him, and it appeared in the paper. Simple
why,
as that.
Why is there pictures of council people on there? Why is there stories and allegations of council members on there? What's that all about?
What do you mean? I'm just reporting the facts.
Confidential equipment or news?
I don't know what specifically you're talking about. And like I said, I've already talked to my attorney and told, she said what I should do. I haven't done that. So I think we're cool. She says I'm cool.
We'll wait until page 2 comes along.
Or on his website, you might be next, whatever it says on there. It's unreal. My son asked me what's going on. I said, I don't know. He says, what's this all about, Dad? Can you name another? I said, I don't know. That's from that guy? Yeah. He says, what's going on? Nobody can figure it out. They don't know what's going on. I mean, you're trying to run the town bankrupt? Or what are you trying to do? You're doing a good job with lawyer fees so far. And it's the truth. No lies. They like that one.
And know what's going on.
I know what you are, too. Don't say no more, Dave.
Bob or Chris, you got anything?
Well, I mean, Adam, you should be thankful you only got 7 pages of diatribe. The interesting part that I noticed in your letter to the editor to have me give information on, you failed to mention the original letter that was given to you that has exploded this whole montage of garbage. You forget to mention the fact that it was your website that prompted 8 people to show up here and pull one of our major attractions potentially from the city in those ducks down the pond. You forgot to mention in your letter that one of our vendors threatened not to do work with us anymore if you were involved. And then you forgot to mention, oh yeah, you got censored for not answering a question in regards to the letter that you originally sent, that has now exploded to almost $10,000 in lawyer fees. All of that you left out conveniently.
Well, I'll be happy to put it in. Absolutely. I'll put it on my webpage. It'll be there in a week.
Why in a week?
Yeah. Because I want everybody to get the same information from the same source.
Then can I ask, Chris, do you remember your simple questions?
Yeah.
I guess they'd have to be public questions, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
What in the letter made you feel the way you felt?
Yeah. Well, that was a closed meeting. So I
no, it wasn't. That was the first question I asked you before we moved to censor you.
I was here. Yeah, so it was open.
It was the first question I asked you after we came out of the closed session.
That's the initial question?
That was the initial question.
And it's the one question I would like answered.
And it's never been answered for, what are we going on, 7 months now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Never been answered.
No matter what I say, you're not going to like it. whatever I put on my website, you're not going to like. So I'm sorry.
You haven't said nothing about it.
You're already prejudging my assessment of what you're going to say without even saying it, because you either have no base to say anything on, or what you're going to come up with is so far off base that doesn't have a platform to sit on. So either way, just go ahead and say it.
No, I'm not going to say anything.
Well, that would be...
It's over.
It's not over.
It's not over.
Is it?
Yeah. It is. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. I'm not going to say any more about it. My webpage is there. I was told what I could do. I have no problem with it. I did what I was told I was supposed to do, and that's it.
Do you feel the content on your website represents you as a city council member and represents the council as a whole in a positive manner?
Number one, I specifically state on there, it does not reflect the views of the city council. That's very clear. It reflects my views as a city council member and as a resident of this town.
I don't think you can have both that. Yeah.
Well, I do.
I know you're.
And that's how I feel, and that's how I will continue to feel. It's a unique position that you can be. You can look at this as a resident, and you can also look at it as an elected official. So I don't profess to speak for the council. That's very clear.
I would like to request on your website a couple things. That Hamburg City Council member website that we are after to, quote, shut down and have your website abolished, because I don't believe that's true. Anybody here in council believe that's true?
That was not the intention.
No, so I think that should be removed from your website.
The mayor at one of the meetings said that he wanted my website name changed.
That's not shut down.
That's pretty damn close.
Take it the way you want it. I guess that's my opinion.
Okay. Likewise.
How you write is very misleading.
Yeah.
May I say that?
Yeah, there was even one, and it's been taken off now, where you had made reference to me increasing taxes by 10%, when in essence I made a motion to increase the proposed levy.
Right.
Not the same thing, not even the same nuance, but that's not what you wrote on your little paper to put a dig into what's going on.
Chris, all over that website there are statements saying, if anybody sees anything that's wrong or they want to make a correction or whatever, please let me know. If, you know, why didn't you do that? If you see something wrong and you know, I think that you should voice your rights and say, wait a minute, I don't think this is right. Here's what really it is. And I would be happy to post that, but you don't want to do that. Same thing to you, Jeremy. If you've got something you want me to post on there about the, you know, something that you were misquoted or whatever, fine, I'll post it on there.
Okay. Anyway,
that's a serial issue retraction.
Also,
that's right on the website.
On there, you also have the letter that you sent to Ms. Dome on June 16th.
Right.
Why don't you put her reply on there from June 17th?
Because I think
also take off, because you only put on what you want people to see, not the full story. And that's what I don't like, because I would like the people to know the whole story, not a third of the story.
One side.
And also you have a note on there in that letter you said, under that note, after sending the above email to Hamburg City Attorney Dome on June 16th, no information was ever received back from her regarding any of the information contained in my Hamburg City Council member website or related web pages that she felt was or could possibly be a violation of Minnesota data privacy law.
And that's correct. And she's
it is, but it's very skewed.
That's your opinion, and that's how you interpret it. I'm sorry. You can say that the newspaper is...
Well, then Adam can quote in the newspaper that I said, I believe everything on your website dictates what you think, not what nobody else thinks.
And that's correct, because that's my website, not the City of Hamburg's website. I mean, you're absolutely correct about that.
Why don't you put her reply on there? Because that's misleading to me.
Maybe it's misleading to you, but it's what happened.
Yeah, but it's not all the facts.
I didn't.
If I say one thing, you take it out of context. You know, it's like a graph.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a graph and make it favorable. I can take a graph, make it favorable for me.
Mm-hmm.
Write all the facts once.
So we got the National Enquirer here. They say one side of the story, and that's it. Kind of like that's what it is too. If I don't, I wouldn't go on to this website. I got much better things. I mean, I'd rather poke myself in the eye with a sharp stick than read these crappy rates. But you know, I'm forced to with the emails I get. So.
I guess I just want to know the intent of it. I mean, I don't see anything on here that, hi, I'm Mr. Odoms and I am working to work for you like Mr. Nash came in or Mr. Ishii came in. I guess that's what I'd like to see a little bit more of.
Jeremy, that's...
Why is that different?
That's not the purpose of my website. My website is to impart things to the people that have elected me and the rest of the world.
How about the facts?
And if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is.
Well then,
my website
on the record, I don't like it.
That's pretty obvious. And
I would want people to hear.
Yeah.
You said, I'm going to do this work for nothing. You haven't paid any money back this year. We need the city of Hanover needs that money back. You've cost us a lot so far.
Why don't you, if somebody, again, I'll make this wide open. If anybody has any questions, it's written right there on my website. If you have any questions, you don't like it's there, send me an email and I'll address them.
Paper right now, huh?
Pardon?
I just asked you, but you said you wouldn't address any of them, so why bother?
I will address it in writing. And that was one thing why I decided to send that to Adam in writing, because then there's no question of what I said.
Well, it's on tape. I'll put it in a minute.
It's old. I mean, previously when...
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, when he was not on the council, then there were all these leprechauns throwing money away, like the city squandered our money, which I think you finally realized that we don't, but you're the king leprechaun right now throwing it away.
I'm gonna pay my money back to the city. When does that happen?
Well, he's got to the end of the
when, year. Yes.
Good point, man.
I guess, you know, otherwise that would be something against his campaign promises.
True.
He doesn't lie.
More lies.
Whatever. I guess I've said enough. I think, Adam, you've probably heard enough that we weren't happy with what you did. And in the future, if there is, how should I say, articles or whatever, it pertains strictly city. I mean...
Should the last one to say anything about it should be Jeremy.
Well, no. I just think the main thing, or maybe Chris Neal, I just think maybe they should have been two separate articles. Yeah. That should have been letter to editor or rebuttal or his chance to...
Well, my only thing would have been is that, you know, Adam would have taken maybe just one more step and verified some of the information that was given to him in a 7-page diatribe. You would have probably painted a different picture of the article. I know you would have painted a different picture of the article. So.
No, not on this again for tonight. Anything else under the old city business? Otherwise, we'll move on. Mr. Schultz. How are you this fine evening?
Wonderful.
Glad to hear that.
Wastewater services, kind of going back to the mission, as she said, problems with geese. I sprayed all three ponds again today, the rocks in the pond. It's the second time I've done that this year. Quite a big job, and I think a big part of that is the goose rockets. And they just keep seeding and seeding and seeding and seeding. You know, they eat the weeds, and we got probably 100 geese out there this year.
Really?
So huge bunch of babies. I guess what kind of scares me is they claim that within 3 years they all come back to, all the babies come back to nest. So we might be looking at possibly something too in the future. That's the trying to get rid of some.
Relocate?
Yeah, or something. But like I said, I mean, it's, you know, I sprayed a month ago and it's all coming back already. It's like, wow. I think that's, like I said, it's just all bootstrappings out there. I think that's what's reseeding everything in the rocks. But I mean, it's in the rocks and there's not dirt or anything else in them. It's just a lot of bootstrappings. So, I mean, what people haven't had to see, but I know last year we probably had probably 40 geese out there, like I said.
One must have told the other, and the other?
Yeah, well, like I said, I think they all had 600 babies this year, so. Maybe hall roof repairs. You guys got copies of the bids there.
Yeah, because then there's some questions as to what is going to be covered or not.
Whether or not dumpster and stuff was included for getting rid of the stuff, and that is all included in his home and all record materials down and that can dispose of. One thing that with either bid, they don't know what the metal's going to be like underneath. So you can't bid what you can't see.
Yeah, that's what that kind of question.
Yeah, yes. So, you know, they both said, you know, depending on how it gets taken off, and both of them kind of figure if anything it'll be basically on the east end, there probably won't be a lot, but like I said, depending on what they find, some of the might need to be repaired, but I guess neither one could even bid on that because they say they don't know how they want to get that off. Another one of the questions was, Boss here has a 20-year manufacturer's warranty that is also a 20-year labor warranty. Like he said, he pays for it up front. They've been around for 56 years, they're not going anywhere. But he said if they were to go out of business next year and we had problems with the company, we get the warranty through, we get another contractor out here at no cost to us to repair this stuff. Where K&S,
so basically, Greg, just want to catch you, but the 20-year manufacturer's warranty, I got clarification from Boss. It's labor and materials, but the roof needs to be inspected every year for that warranty. So, and with that, the first 3 years, there'd be no cost for that inspection. And then after that, it would be $150 per year. So in order to keep that warranty coverage, that needs to be done. And it's the same with KS Construction. But there we were looking at, what was it? $550 every year for that inspection.
And that's also with 1500 pre-inspection and $1,000 post-inspection and which, you know, basically it should be inspected every year. You can't do a roof and get 20-year warranty walk away from it. I look at it for 20 years and expect it, but that's kind of what happened with the last one, I believe.
I guess it's a cheap insurance policy.
Yeah, and you know, them guys are the professionals. If they see something, well, that's when the warranty actually takes over and it takes us, so we don't have the issues that we have going on right now. So, yeah, I think that would be a pretty good thing. His would be, well, that would be like an option if you want to go with that for the label warranty. He has a 20-year material also. He didn't have the permit included in there, which is 980. $20 that you have to add on to the price also.
So I'm going to bring it almost to $39,000. Okay, then.
Plus the yearly fee.
True.
Yeah.
I did talk to Greg on this myself a little bit. I asked Greg about this 8-inch per foot taper, and I guess Boss will do that too.
Yeah.
They both. What it is the it's the girders or the stringers that are on there are flat. So what they both want to do is they want to add more insulation on one side than the other to bring it up to remove the water off of the roof faster. Basically right now there's not really that much of that, so the water just kind of sits in places. And the faster you get it off the roof, the better you're going to be. So yeah, both of them would be, actually it's a flat roof, but like I said, they will build it up with insulation more for their own roof. And then,
and I believe talking with Greg that Boss was going to take the chimney down.
Both of them would take the high up remove the chimney as long as they have the dumpsters and everything there. That would be the best deal. So they talked about possibly capping it, but all the mortars falling out and breaks anyway. Well, the chimney's not used.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're trying to get rid of it, that way they can put shelf over it and, you know, expand it with the rest of the
place.
So.
Less seams, too.
Yeah.
Do we have money?
Well, it was kind of talked about that we do because of, that's why we switched with the old.
I didn't know money seems to be thrown out here all the time, but anyway. After looking at the both of the bids, I'd like to make a motion for Boss Construction to go ahead with this bid. As is.
There a second?
One second.
Motion made and seconded to award the roof bid to Boss Construction. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Did they give any kind of a time element?
Yeah, he said they could start off with the chimney.
That's good.
So we can
the only thing we have is August 1st, right now, for the next 2 months. It's the only time we have a wedding is August 1st. One thing, I don't know if anybody else has thought of this, and I hate to keep bringing up stuff with the hall, but do you think we need to maybe, you know where some of the water spots are? Just maybe peel back some paneling and take a look at what our walls are like?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I hate to keep getting into things with this hall, but... Right, I agree, but I'm just saying we need to get that done before we get to all these other issues, but...
I think that is a nice logical step.
We need to look at that in the walls, and then we need to get at the shop. So me and Greg, we've sat down and talked about this quite extensively of all the things here, so...
And Kurt and I will be cutting up the floor probably in the next week or two. I need to write the saw. Got that with plenty of builders and know what we're going to do with the drains and stuff. So.
Okay.
Well,
I
talked to Greg on that too. I think he's had a good plan on our attack gun. I think he's doing a good job at that. So I think we have a good process.
You want to try and should I call Boss tomorrow and see if they can start right away?
Yeah, whatever.
Well, if we got August 1st, I'd tell him he has to have it done by August 1st. Then
when I say July 31st, or otherwise he could start the 3rd.
No.
You know,
Boss would be in town this corner here. Would that be something they'd look at?
That's next on the agenda.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Did you see how long it's going to take him to do that?
He did not, but he said he's got a pretty good crew and he said probably wouldn't take a long time.
Okay, like PH or something?
I would guess, yeah, unless some of you guys would guess. Well, I think we're going to have a metal work underneath.
I bet your week isn't going to cover it.
I'm thinking the best.
In the weather.
Maybe would be to say August 3rd. Yeah. That gives him a good month then to get it done. What do you think, Greg? If that works for him. I mean, unless he really feels he can get in and get it hammered out. I would love to have that. I mean, if he really feels he can come.
He could probably come in with a crew and tear a chimney down and lay some plywood across and get that off.
But I just don't want to. So, just as long as he can guarantee it'll get done by, I'd say it'd have to be done by July 31st, because the renters are going to want to get in that morning.
Yeah.
If he feels he can get it done then let's go for it. Otherwise, August 3rd, I'd say.
Okay, yeah, I'll call him in the morning.
Yeah, this is the year of the roof here in the city. We've got a leak in the bathroom over here. I suppose I can cap. I'll have them take a look at that too once and see once what they where they think it's going.
This is what we got. I don't know if it's a flashing problem. We've got water coming in, running down the metal structure, supports, and into the wall. And it's to the point now where the sheetrock's come off, some of the wood's even rotting.
Mm-hmm. This is the second time in the sheetrock.
Yeah.
No,
we got to get that addressed too. I'm hoping it's just a simple flashing issue. But yeah, I think we can have boss look at that when they come.
One of the issues you got, you want like the park, Lance, and shelter down there. What's happening in the middle of the roofs and the fasteners are coming off. And we tried to deal with that last year. Other contractor, he said he was doing more damage than good. And I had talked to Boss about it because we got, well, like I said, it's near the roof. Even the round building, that's happening. The fasteners are starting to work really out. And I talked to him about on the previous roofs, the people had talked about spray coating over. And basically, what is it, Band-Aid? Basically, like the roof that they're put on there on the flat roof, he said it could also be done on a round structure. And that if it eliminates all that, that covers all that up, they calm them down and cover it up, and then you get the same warranties and everything. But like he said, he said, you know, it's a money deal, which it always is, but because the round roof actually leaks on the other side too. When I go up into the attic there, I got three or four pails that are raining, so I catch the water on the other side too there, so you got a lot of issues.
While he's here, Greg, you just want to hit him up to throw an estimate?
Yeah.
So we know for next year, we can put it on the budget discussion for 2016 for the round roof. I'm trying to remember, so I don't shoot him an email too on that.
The park open shelter, that's got shingles that are bad on it. I got one estimate already. Second estimate, I have a PC there. I got it down right now, but I don't, so that can wait until the next month or whatever. And then I guess the line's bowling too. You know, I don't know what the answer is on that either. It's a building we rent off, but it's a building that leaks, so I guess I'll just do this. Whether we do a spray coat over everything, and, you know, I mean, I guess, how long has that been? Was it 99?
I think 99.
Yeah, so that's what,
15, 16 years.
16 years, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Consider it all costs money, but we gotta, you know, we gotta get after it, because when they leak, the wood gets wet, and go to that bathroom and see what happens after it gets wet. You know, you can start rotting off rafters and everything else. So, Baseball park catch basin. I already talked to Brad about that. That's a good time to get a raise after you have a blacktop.
Okay.
Put a couple of
rings.
Yeah, the round rings or whatever, and raise it up. It doesn't need to have that kind of fall away. So it's certainly not done. It's a good nice turn for this for lights. It's not something that's super pressing right now, but it is kind of a little safety issue for me to look at what we've done. Big is, but it's been like that for a long time, but I think it's a little bit that changed. So. Any questions? Any questions for me? I guess I'll get the contract because I'll look at the
smell. He's working out fine.
I'm working out real good. His wife's off, right? So he was not in today. He had to go to a funeral, but no, he's working out good. Comes in about 9:30 in the morning when the dew is off, and you know, if it rains, he's flexible. Yeah. So he's good with the equipment. Knows how to run stuff. He greases the thing and takes care of it, cleans it up and stuff when he's done. So yeah, he's really allows me to get a lot of other small stuff done. So one more question for you. The fence in front of the generator down there. I would like it to be maintenance free. The only maintenance free fence I can get that you can't see through is like a privacy fence. Privacy fences are 6 feet tall or taller. And what we had discussed, we didn't want to put a 6 foot fence, but then you can't look across and see what's in front on the baseball field or whatever. You just want me to get like a cedar. And I can make a fence like a 4 foot high or 5 foot high and paint it in a year once it dries.
Didn't we originally talk about getting like a fence this high made out of plastic or something that's all white? So it would be maintenance free and just, it's not going to be as high as the generator. It's just going to cover up the gas heater.
Yeah,
but
they don't make it
6 feet. Yeah. Anything that doesn't have rungs in between it is called privacy fence. Privacy fence is 6 feet high or taller, so you can't see through it.
Can you cut it off at the bottom and make it shorter?
No, because it's plastic, and what it is, it's sealed on both ends. If you cut it off, the plastic's going to warp on the nails. I'm talking about that.
I guess what's the difference between a 4 foot or a 6? We want the privacy. We don't want to see the generator.
Yeah. So.
And if they want to look at the ballpark, they just got to move around a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it don't matter to me, but I've tried Home Depot, I've tried Menards, I was up to Runnings and stuff, and basically the privacy fence for something you can't see through, minimum is 6 feet.
And that's plastic?
That's plastic, yeah.
Then you have to worry about painting.
Yeah, that's a maintenance free, so.
Sounds good to me.
Like I said, maybe you should just go to 6 foot fence, and that way they don't have to.
Do it.
Okay.
Do it.
Keep your life simple.
Okay. Well, like I said, I know we talked about when you pull up the stop, so you want to be able to see the park. Well, the 6 foot fence, you're not going to. So.
No. There's other obstacles too that don't.
Yeah. Like I said, I pretty much checked all my options and everything is 6 foot or higher for something you can't see through. So, all right, I will go with that. Any other questions?
The sign that goes by the
park.
Park, the little park here?
Yep.
Is it anywhere?
I gotta get to come and meet the order shots. When I go there, I want to get some aluminum pieces around the back so that, because it's cracked and it's glued. But what I want to do is where the bolting is, I want to screw aluminum to it so that it's not going to crack and break off, because the one was broken off already and that's all glued together. And then,
so give us a little
holes, what's that?
Put some of the holes oblong or something, so give us?
Yeah, well, I'll drill like half inch holes. The bolts won't be that big in that way, and then I'll use lock nuts and bolts so it won't be tight.
Mm-hmm.
So when it expands and contracts, it'll move, so it won't
break
that again. Big anymore. But I gotta order other signs too from the county. I just haven't been to it. When they cut their aluminum for their signs, they got big long strips and stuff, so I just want to basically pick some of them out of their aluminum thing for nothing, and that way I can You won't see it, but it'll be on the back side.
Is there something Sunday you wanted me for?
What's that?
Is there something Sunday morning you wanted me for?
Well, I signed the checks.
I did. After church.
Yeah. That's what it was.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anything else for Greg?
Greg, nice job on painting that lid down there on the lift station.
Oh, okay.
But I noticed, you know, was there a padlock on that lid before? Because I noticed tonight it was not.
Yeah. Well, there never was.
I wasn't sure if there was or not.
I could put one around there, but
Looks nice to you.
They ought to dive in there. That's the one.
That's a small hole you would need. You have a hard time getting down there. It's a hard time getting two bumps down that hole.
Is there even anything down there? For a lock?
What's that?
Is there a slot or something to put a lock on? Yeah, I would think. I think safety. We might as well just to cover ourselves. Just put a lock on there.
Yeah. Anything else for Greg? Greg, you got anything? Otherwise, thank you. We'll move on. Jeremy.
Cable franchise. Currently, well, not even currently, but we're kind of running off the old cable franchise agreement with Mediacom, and at Norwood City Council meeting last night, they vote to split from the joint franchise agreement we had. It used to be Nordic American Hamburg. We had a joint, but they want to split from that, have their own franchise agreement. I don't have a problem with that. We can do the same thing. We can kind of do something similar to what Norwood does, piggyback to what franchise agreement they have, and then tweak it to what we have. So I have no objection to that. I did find out, too, that Jaguar is working with Norwood, not Hamburg. So nothing in the works for Hamburg right now from Jaguar. They're working with Norwood right now, so to start putting a franchise agreement together with Norwood.
So Jeremy, am I right in assuming that we really don't have a contract with Mediacom? We did have, but it expired?
It expired, and we're just working off that agreement, franchise agreement.
We have to sign another contract?
It'll be our own.
Would that be a 10-year contract?
Usually 20.
Yeah, see, and then how's that going to affect your impact with Jaguar?
Yeah, you can have more than one franchise agreement.
Well, no, I understand
So. I don't know that it would really. I think it's good to have two. The only thing is 20 years, you know. Yeah, it's a long time.
What's technology?
But you're right. And where are they going to be? And, you know, it's hard to say the unknown, but.
Now, is there still funds that we've got?
Yeah, so I've talked to Mr. Helga, the administrator with Norwood, and we'd do a separate agreement so we could still continue to keep that between the two communities and run the local channel. Between the two communities, so.
Is there anything we could use of any of that money at this point that we should maybe brainstorm a little, or in case we have to?
There's nothing I'm aware of that we could, you know, use that money for. I mean, ideally it's supposed to be for the local channel, but that only takes so much. And
local channel's gone, though. Channel 8, or whatever? Can't get it anymore.
Why?
Okay, come in. Since they went to HD, it's not out.
Let me look into that.
All those channels, like if you just want channel 5, there's nothing. You have to go to 5.1. Because then everything is strictly HD now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they went to all digital.
Right, but all these other ones that weren't that are gone.
Try like 9.1 and 11.2 and 11.3. Those are digital channels, but it's not digital quality.
Well, 11.2 is probably.
Well, I think the main concern here, though, is where's the local cable channel located?
Yeah.
I will look into that.
Because it's just strange. It's gone. all those are gone. You know, like from 13 to 21, you know that?
I guess I always went HD anyway, so I never got any of the five. I'm always in the 800s, 7-800s, because that's where HD is. But I'll look at it too, because I got MediaCom at home. So, but I'll call on that and find out what's going on there.
All right.
Yeah, because people are paying a franchise fee for that, so should provide that service. Outdoor warning siren, we kind of touch base. I will keep on top of that. Unfortunately, right now it's kind of out of our hands. It's a communication problem from the signal the county's sending to, you know, mm-hmm. our box. So
yeah, okay.
One of the things we did do is I had him move the box from inside the pump house and into the waterproof box on the outside on the post, just because he said we shouldn't have that in there because of the moisture in the pump house. Does that can wreck them circuit boards? So yeah, I'll keep on top of the siren. No fault sewer backup coverage. We kind of touched base with this in fall. And I finished up, you know, the renewal for our insurance. And if we want to continue with the sewer backup coverage, we now have to pass a resolution. But with that, I just want to kind of go over some of the values there. As you can see, the backup in the resolution, and it's also on page 2, the main thing there is it now excludes any situation where rainfall exceeds certain amounts, which is basically, it's more restrictive than the 100-year rainfall standard. So now, their standard is 2 inches in an hour, 2.5 inches in 3 hours, 3 inches in 6 hours, 3.5 inches in a 12-hour period, 4 inches in 24-hour period, 4.5 inches in 72-hour period, 5.5 inches in 168-hour period. So let's take that 5-6 inches of rain we got in 3 hours last year. That would no longer cover us if we got that type of rainfall with the league's no fault sewer.
Isn't that what the insurance is for heavy rainfall like that? I mean, that makes no sense. It's ridiculous.
I know.
That sounds like health insurance.
And how do they determine how much rain fell? I mean, do they put a rain gate out? Rain gauge are they certified, or do they use the airport? Or
2 inches in hell, or even stand?
You know, I mean, honestly, we almost. Pumps can maintain at these rainfall amounts. But one thing I also want to, is it does also cover, this covers water main breaks too. So there is the idea for water main break coverage too.
How many times has that happened though?
We've never really had any damage as far as from a water main break. But I don't want to say that because... Since you do that,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I guess my question is, do you want to continue with the no-fault sewer backup coverage?
Yeah, we don't.
Then it basically, we don't have no, kind of this was our blanket, you know. It really would come down to the homeowner probably either going back to their insurance or going after the city.
And we've been through that already.
And I've been through that. And it's not fun. But yet, I mean, there are statutes in there that provide due diligence. I mean, we have tried to do our due diligence, but I mean, it isn't feasible for us to put in a whole new system to make it airtight, you know.
What's the cost?
It's roughly costing us about $250 a year
for
the coverage.
And then it wouldn't cover water main breakage?
Yeah. Did you see in the...
I think for the 250, we're better off to at least...
And what it is it, that's the, that's, I mean, don't quote me on that amount, because I haven't got the, you know, I don't know if it went up or it's going down, who knows what the different pricing either, but last year that's what we paid. You know, if it's similar, you know, I think that's something.
Yeah, I think you're right, $250, you don't go to Harvest Home.
You know, and that's for $10,000 of coverage. I mean, they do have higher limits. But
they do have higher premiums.
But they do have higher premiums.
Well, like the timeshares, that cost is, they said it was $20,000 that they
got, they got 10,000.
We gave them 10, or they got 10.
Well, the insurance paid out 10, and that's what they got on the ordeal.
Would you check the higher limit of 25,000 or whatever it is?
I can, yeah. I don't think that'd be a problem.
I mean, if it's not that much, it could save a lot of grief.
What is it? 25 and 40 is also available, so. I will do that.
And you're right, it might only cost 50 or 100 bucks more for that.
Yeah, we're better off.
Right.
Yeah, the only thing I, you know, looking at these rainfall amounts, well, they seem to happen every storm.
But
and I'm talking about the 4 and 5 inches. But if there's that off chance where we're under it,
and it shows that we are doing our best we can.
Due to the due diligence, yeah. But yeah, I'll check on the higher limit too.
All right.
So if that's the case, then I would ask that we adopt resolution number 2015-08.
Okay, is there a motion?
Can we adopt that without knowing what amounts we're going to vote for?
Well, right now I guess we could do it for 10,000. That's what I have in for the policy.
Well,
roughly about. Or unless you want to wait until I...
We can always change it.
But then that leaves us a month gap if something happens.
Can we amend it at a later date with no gap?
Well, that's why I say do 10,000 tonight, and then I can always do a new resolution for 25.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a motion, or is there a second? Can you second it? Motion made and seconded to adopt resolution number 2015-08 pertaining to our no-fault sewer backup coverage of $10,000. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay, the next thing I got is...
When does this have to be done by? Tonight?
What, health insurance?
Yeah.
I'd say next meeting we'll have to.
Yeah, put that out. Let's put that off because that may change as well. Unless he locked in those rates, that may change anyway.
These are pretty well set.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So basically, I have to apologize. I told you that our broker told us they were about 5%. Well, when I ran my numbers, they're about 9-10%.
That's still better than most insurance. Well, and most insurance companies are predicting 50% hike by the first of the year.
He said with the new regulations coming in 2016, they're expecting 50 to 60% to be the average.
The thing of it is there's no proven relationship that Obamacare is costing these insurance companies that much more money to actually justify these things. They're just trying to screw the customer is what it is. They're using it as an excuse to bleed the people who buy health insurance, while CMS just keeps cutting their stuff back.
And the reason why our broker said about 5 versus what, because when we set ours last year, I don't know why, and I'm not going to inquire, but our rates, he was going off last year's rates, what they quoted us, versus the actual rates, what... I don't know if they were different than when we, because I was even surprised when we got the first bill, they were lower. actually from the rates they quoted us from last year, this year was about 5%, but when you factor in what we actually are paying, and that's what I'm going off. And one of the things I tried to show you is where we're at, what our actual contribution, you know, is 34,022.48. And then I tried to show the budget amount, and then I've looked at two separate plans and some scenarios. So one of the things I've looked at is this HSA Gold, which is by setting the, you know, and you can see the deductible amounts determines everything and what the city's contribution. But I'd like the council to have this to kind of go over it, you know, before we make decisions on it. But our renewal has to be in at least 30 days before, and our renewal is 12-1.
I thought it was like in November.
12-1, so we'd have to basically at latest, you know, October. Yeah. Maybe.
Which one do you have now, Health Partners?
Yes, and I did talk to our broker, and he basically said the area we're in is 8. We have some of the lowest rates, and in looking at all the major players, Health Partners was the cheapest. Yeah, we have a good company.
Well, we can look at this and we don't have to determine.
Not tonight.
Not
no.
Today.
Nope.
Next meeting, we have that one.
Oh, October.
I think we got it.
We got a couple.
I'd like to say September, you know, when we're doing the budget. You know, it's always a good time to tie things in.
So that's. That, it looks like budget workshop meetings.
Yes, so that leads into the next thing, looking at some budget workshop days. Usually we meet end of August to have it in and finalize 15th, but last year they changed that, so we now have till September 30th to actually, till we need to certify our preliminary budget. So I was thinking we could look at going into September, if September 1st works, it's a Tuesday night, having a budget workshop.
Well, are we going to have the meeting the day after Labor Day then, the 8th? That would be the regular fall, okay.
Yeah. And then I would say we maybe have, you know, a second council meeting in September to finalize the preliminary.
Whatever. Try to make them. Send out a reminder.
I can do that. So I guess looking for a motion for September 1st at 7?
Motion made and seconded to set the date September 1st, 7 p.m. for the budget workshop date. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Yeah.
Just next meeting, I'll touch base more on my vacation. I've already talked to Sherry, so we've worked out dates. Other than that, that's all I got.
Okay, we'll move on to the claims. Added June claims, $7,781.76.
I move to add to approve the June added to ash payments, $17,451 and $17,459.47.
There's a second. Motion made and seconded to approve the two ash payments and checks number 17,451. 17,459, total of 7,781.76. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
There's no C in the word shrub, by the way.
What's that? Where? What one?
17436, 13 shrubs for Memorial Park. There's no C in the word shrub.
36. Thanks, spell check.
Anytime.
All right, we'll move on to the July claims.
We will correct that.
Looks like we had some healthy claims here.
Well, basically our payments for all our improvements. Mm-hmm. That was about 80% of that expense.
Sure. So we're looking at $127,300.89. Yes. Looking for a motion. Which ones are you paying?
Huh?
Which ones are you paying?
All in the bottom.
5-H payment, 17460 to
17492. There you go, that's it.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the 5-H payments and check number 17460 to 17492 for a total of $127,300.89. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Council reports. Mr. Owens.
I just want to be sure that Greg got publicly acknowledged for the nice job he did on that cover down there on the Niagara station. And also Jeremy sent out an email today about somebody's daughter who died. Something to do with Church for Victoria or whatever. Are we sending flowers or a card or anything, or don't we do that?
It's kind of stretched out.
Yeah, typically just keep it to the media I have, so.
16-year-old.
That's all I got.
Bob?
Nothing for me.
Chris?
Tomorrow is the quarterly all-chamber meeting. We at the pool park. Lunch will be provided by Lone Miller's and Sons.
What time is this?
Mm-hmm. So, no.
Appreciate it.
I'll be there.
Other than that,
and Mr. Trevish.
I don't have anything that could stop my head.
Well, I myself really don't have anything either at this point, so. I guess I'd like to adjourn.
So move.
Second. Motion made and second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.